beware, contains very offensive language right from the start and throughout, and adult themes.
Previously on Dubious Intent Plus.
Ladies, talk to me. What was it like having a few days off?
Boring as shit. We were passing like porn pictures back and forth that we drew.
I didn't get any at all.
She was trying not to masturbate so it would help her win, but she realized she's not going to win.
All that goddamn testosterone.
One of the soccer players, they don't get off.
Is that real?
Helps compete.
That's real.
Oh, I have to get off. I got off like 3 times.
The Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe. It's time for DI Plus to come screaming at you through Tay Interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. DI Plus is brought to you by Quaker Chewy Granola Bars. We've added even more delicious chocolate chips to our Quaker Chewy granola bars. With 8 grams of whole grains and no high fructose corn syrup, it's a tasty option for your active family. Check them out at quakeroats.com, and don't forget to use the special listener checkout code DIPLUS for a healthy discount. Welcome to DIPLUS. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined from the Quaker Chewy granola bar-free state of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
Hello, Daniel.
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Quaker Chewy Granola Bars is hard to say. Say that 5 times.
I know.
Fast.
Thank you for suggesting that as our fake sponsor for this evening.
You're welcome.
One day when you have to do it, I will suggest, Susie selling seashells by the seashore.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I have enough trouble. I have enough trouble anyway doing any sort of intro to anything. So how are you, Daniel?
I've already answered. Asked and answered, Adam. Asked and answered.
Well, okay.
You know what, Adam? It is 8:21 p.m. in the evening on Sunday. And that, of course, can mean only one thing, that we are streaming live on Pride48.com in front of the world's most amazing chat room, who has forsaken... They have forsaken the Tony Awards tonight to be here to listen to us. Adam, who is joining us in the Tony Awards free chat room?
Tony who? I never have watched that. Never have I ever. Okay, so we have Cyclone, Gravitas, Mags, Minion 51, Toppy Smelly, Bored in Oz, Lamont Cranston, and whoever. I was trying to put the correct emphasis.
The emphasis. We do like to take our time here and make sure that we do correctly emphasize words, because that's what we do.
Yes, absolutely. So anyway,
this is a picky thing, Adam, and I don't mean to be picky or whatever. You're a little distorted. Why is that?
I don't know. You keep every week you guys have told me I was too
quiet, but now you sound a little overmodulated. Pull back a little bit.
I don't know whether to pull
there,
back.
There, that's perfect. Right there. That's fine. It's fine. Whatever you just did is fine.
I'll turn my headphones up so I hear myself louder.
There. That would be the better thing to do. And I will lower my volume here, and I'll raise the master volume for the people going out. How's that?
Okay. Podcasting 101. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Lower your volume just a little bit. Make everyone the same. If you have multiple people on your podcast, everyone should be the same level. And don't distort.
The illusion should be that we are sitting around a table together. We're just here. We're just here. You and I sitting in the Pride 48 studios. Having a lovely conversation.
But even if we were doing that, which we are, we would have two different mics. So we still might have different levels, right? Even in the same studio, so to speak.
Possibly, which is why.
So how's it going over there in the Connecticut? How are you? How have you been?
I'm doing okay here in the Connecticut's. It has been, apparently today was a very hot day in the rest of the country. So all of that whole thing where you people were all like during the winter when everybody was posting, it's a lovely warm day here today. What's it like there, Daniel? Making fun of me for being in the subarctic. Today was lovely. It was 69 degrees, a slight breeze. I went walking on the Farmington Canal Trail for a bit. It was a lovely day today. It was a lovely day yesterday. In fact, we've had many, many lovely days lately here. It's a lovely time of year where it's, you know, it's not too hot. I've got the windows open. There's a nice breeze outside. The cats like sitting up in the windows and doing things like that. So yeah, it is a great time of year to be here in the Northeast United States.
It was 91 today here.
I heard that. Yes.
Yeah. It was kind of hot. And it felt, you know, I didn't check this, so I can't say for sure, but I think it was humid. I can't tell you. I mean, it felt humid. It felt sticky and kind of hotter than normal, you know, but I didn't check the actual humidity number. So I don't know. I couldn't tell you. And we're doing a weather report again. I feel like I should have a map behind me. And with flags, did you ever? Okay, I don't think they do that so much. Maybe they do, but I don't watch a lot of news now. But I remember from like my childhood, the weatherman, they would have this map, and then it would always have these. It looked like I want to say banners, but it was like these red and blue lines that had little flags hanging from them. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I'm sorry, like, I wasn't listening to what you were saying. What?
It was so hard for me to explain that. I'm sure you were listening. You've got headphones
on. All right, you're talking about the pentafor. What do they call them? The penta. The someone help me out. The flags.
This little triangle thing.
Yeah, they're flags.
They're
it's a nautical code. It's in there's actually a whole bunch of different ones that they use. Those are actually a real nautical code that is being used. It's called penta something. Penta.
I don't think so.
Pentafores. Let's see. A nautical code.
But anyway, my whole point is, I think. The weather channel, the channels that I watch now, they still have the red and blue lines, but I don't think they have the little hangy triangle-y things.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So you're not talking about the nautical code flags. You're talking about when they denote like a low pressure system and it has the little pointy.
It's like sometimes it looks like low pressure.
Yeah, the low pressure has the little spikies pointing down, right? The high pressure has the little spikies pointing up.
Oh, maybe that's it.
It's denoting the direction of the front.
I was like, what are those flags? Why are they hanging flags down on the weather? I don't understand. It's like, is it somebody's birthday? Like, what's going on? Anyway, maybe they have a different way of denoting that now. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
this is fascinating. I'm just absolutely fascinating.
Well, there you go. It's how you know.
Here's the thing. Adam, this is how I do the weather. I swear to God, this is what I do every morning. And forgive me for a moment, but I wake up in the morning and I go, okay, Google, what's the weather today? I don't know why she's not talking. But basically,
then you hear silence.
No, here, I'll do it. Because apparently, when you do it on your computer, they don't talk. So I have to, let's see, I'll go over to where I really do it, which is on my phone. Okay, Google, what's the weather today? Yeah. So, and then it basically shows me.
Fail.
I don't know why the fucking.
You had your volume down.
I had the volume down because I don't want to blast it out. Yeah. Anyway, so the point is I don't ever see, though, I don't watch weather on TV. I use my phone. I use weather apps. I use all those things.
We have a cute new weatherman on our local station.
And you know what else, Adam?
Yeah.
In 4 days, Alexa will be telling me the weather.
Oh, so you got my email notification.
I got my email. My Amazon Echo will arrive by Tuesday, June 9th. So,
well, you can tell me what you think. So I really, as I said before, I really like it. But now I'm kind of to the point where I've asked it everything I could possibly ask it. And I'm waiting for all those other features that they're talking about that are like the SDK and all that. Because I want apps and like, you know, the ability to do stuff myself.
Yeah, I wanted it. This is what I want. And this is what I've wanted for a very long time. All right. So follow me here. This is what I want. I listen to podcasts when I'm in the car, right? When I'm out doing things, I listen to podcasts. But when I walk back into my house, I don't want to be wearing earbuds, listening to podcasts or whatever. So I would like very much for me to be able to just walk inside and just go like, Alexa, play the podcast I was just listening to. But the way that I could accomplish that is by using Dropbox as a back end, like either Dropbox or Google Drive or something in the back end that basically the player just writes down your time code. Like, so the player is constantly writing the time code, what you're listening to and what the time code is, and updates it once every 5 seconds. So no matter what device you're on, as long as the app goes and reads that file, it would just pick it up where you left off, right? So it's like, in other words, if I walk into the house, then I just want him to start playing. I want Alexa to start playing, you know, I'm trying to think of a podcast that I listen to. I was going to say it's all about me, but they don't listen to us anymore, so I don't want to like say that we listen to them. So, which by the way, they don't listen to us because of you.
Why?
Because of you, Adam. This is what I wanted to. I wasn't ready to do this.
Why?
Yet,
what did I do?
I think that we should basically let's see.
Uh, Because I was rude to Joe in L.A.
Who's Joe?
Joe Batanz.
Oh, no, they hate Joe Batanz. And now they hate you.
Oh, they hate me.
They do. What's the name of that song? Chat room, help me out here. What is the name of that song?
Well,
anyone know the name of that song? I love you, baby.
Well, this will be a first because up until now, if they really hate me, I don't know anyone else who hates me. So this will be a first.
No, no, they absolutely hate you. Okay. And so what I need you to do, Adam, is I need you to, let's see. Is that what it is? I love you, baby.
Well, we're kind of talking about this, but if they don't listen, they'll never hear this anyway.
No, but somebody else, really... because people will tell them. People will tell them. That's what they do. It's not Henry Mancini's Elephant Walk, Toppy Smelly. Thank you for tricking that one. Yeah, I love you, baby, is what I'm being told. I love you, baby. All right, let's see. We'll see if I can get this. Is it a Frankie Valli song? Yeah, this will go away. This will go away. Oh, why can't I think of the name? Why can't I find that song, Adam? Oh my God, this is so...
Well, I really don't know what you're thinking about, so I don't even know what song you're looking for. They hate me. What song has to do with hate? I don't know. There's a I Hate Everything About You, I think.
No, I wanted you to just extend an apology to them. And I figured, you know what, between the two of us, pretty much everyone hates us, so I figured if we just made generic apologies.
Oh, well, what did I do? How can I apologize?
I don't know what you did. I mean, that's the thing, Adam. It doesn't matter what you did. You just need to apologize. You just need, you know, it's like, here, I'll do it. I'll start it. Dear person who I'm offended, I am so sorry. I did not mean whatever it was in a way that you took it. I'm sure that it was just a misunderstanding and that we could work this out by just sitting down and having a beer together. At the end of the day, I love everyone except for Joey Buhecker and Mike Lawson. Other than that, I love everyone, and I'm sure that we can work this out. Sincerely, Daniel Brewer. See, there you go, Adam. So I've apologized to everyone. I think you should do that.
Dear whoever needs an apology, what he said.
No, you gotta do it. You gotta do it so that we can cut this out and then we can send them. Send in anytime. So anytime that I hear another podcast where they say, like, I hate Adam Burns, I'll just take that file and send it to them as a voicemail.
Well, how often? I want to know how often you hear this from
daily,
people.
Like hourly, basically. It's like, seriously.
Wow. Okay. So dear, insert name here, from the bottom of my heart to the tip of my toes, I sincerely want to apologize if you felt that whatever I did was in any way, shape, or form incorrect, wrong, poorly worded, arrogant, mean-spirited, in any way not kind to yourself or any others. I just want to sincerely apologize and say that I love you. Thank you very much, Adam.
Excellent. See, there you go. Then now we have that taken care of. We're ready. Uh-oh, something happened. We have that all there and ready to go. And see, Adam, see, this is a better living through technology is what I have to say.
Right. Hey there, this is Scott. You know, Seder69 on the Twitters, host of the Seder Sphere podcast, which Daniel doesn't listen to.
I've never heard of this.
Nobody listens to, so I don't know why I bothered to say it. Hey, Ann B. Davis has passed away. Alice from the Brady Bunch.
Before you play anything.
I know, I'm looking this up.
It was a year ago.
right,
exactly,
I believe
a year ago.
I believe, as a matter of fact, I believe we got another phone call on this. So let's just listen to that real quick.
God damn Facebook! She died a year ago, but it's like 4:30 in the morning, and I said, "Oh, I gotta call in because no one else is awake because I'm always on the graveyard shift at my job, and I can actually get one before RC." Jesus Christ! She died a year ago. Does it still count? Look back, see if anybody reported her. Oh, shit.
Sorry. No, that I'm right. Almost positive someone called in. And,
probably, it was probably RT Cruiser. You know, the thing here is I'm looking through my list of my previously on Dubious Intents, and I don't see Scott. I don't see an entry from Scott. I don't see a recording from Scott, from previously on Dubious Intent. I'm just saying, if you listen to the Satersphere show that no one listens to once every 72 episodes, because I think that's how many intros he has, like once every 72 episodes, you'll hear me. but not Adam because Adam doesn't care. So, you know, it's me, really.
So what we're saying is if you listen to, we're now following in the footsteps of other podcasts where if you listen, actually we already were because of the death phone, but if you listen to DI Plus, you have work to do. Like, you can't just be like a nonchalant sort of listener. You got to.
No, it's not. You know what, Adam? I think what we should do is we should start, you know, we should engage more with our audience. We should do things that other podcasts don't do. Like for instance, Adam, what was your senior song? What was the song, your senior song for high school?
My senior song?
Yeah. You know, like in the back of your yearbook, you know, senior song.
You mean like at prom or what?
Yeah, you know, like didn't you have a class song and a class?
I don't think we had a class song, but I can
I'm
tell
sure
you.
I'm sure if you I'm go pretty... into the back of your yearbook and sure. look, you will find that you did have a class song. Oh. You have a class song and class colors and, you know, and a class, all those things.
I don't know.
You know, our class in Plant City High School, the class of 19.
Back when you graduated in 1954.
Mm-hmm. This was ours. Tell me if you know what the song is, Adam.
My Sharona?
Nope. It's got a long lead in too, so I don't have to cut it off until they start singing. So, like, yet? You've got it yet?
No, I have no idea.
Sure? I'm stopping it right there because they're about to sing.
Well, in the chat room, they're saying, "We got the beat."
That is correct. It is indeed "We Got the Beat" by the Go-Go. Which to me always seems like a song about masturbation, but no other song, no other podcast does this, ask for your senior song. So, you know, if you want to call in and let us know what your senior song was, we'll talk about it here on the show because, you know, that's what we do.
Now, I don't think we had a senior song. I really don't. I don't think we did. But at my prom, the prom song, I believe, was this one here. Let's see. Because I graduated in 1996.
Sorry, I never told you. All I wanted to say.
I don't know who this is.
And now it's too late to hold you.
What is it, Adam? Who is it?
Because you've gone away so far away.
Who is this? Are you just not going to answer me at all? Like, what? Who is this?
You don't know it?
No, who is this?
I'll skip. Wait. Hold on, I'll skip. Okay, it's Mariah Carey and Boys to Men.
I have no idea.
And it's called One Sweet Day.
Wow.
And I believe it came out in 96, and I believe that was our song for our prom.
So according to the chat room, Auntie Vera Charles says, Gooch says that his senior song was this. Any guesses yet? No?
How old is Gooch?
Gooch is a young man, a very young man. I'm going to stop it because he's going to say the title of the song in like 3 seconds. All right. So do you know it yet? I will give you a hint.
No, I was taking a drink. Sorry.
I will give you a hint. It is, the group's name is Styx. So this is the song is by Styx.
I'm not very musically inclined. I'm gonna play
the next 5 anyway. Seconds of the song, and then you'll know the title of it. Ready? Here we go.
Okay.
Yeah, so there you go.
Welcome to the graduation.
No, it's the Grand Illusion. Oh my God.
Oh. I don't know. It's even in the chat room.
Welcome to the graduation.
I'm like telling you, I don't know the song. Come on in and grab a tassel. Yeah, clearly, exactly. Auntie Vera has typed the name of it in the chat.
I know, exactly. That's why I thought I looked it up.
And I'm like, I don't know. What is it?
Oh my God, this is so bad.
I don't know.
What are we doing? I don't even know what we're doing anymore.
I don't know. But you know what? Speaking of, that's a good segue because our senior song was a Mariah Carey song. And I had nothing to do with that. But I wanted to just mention one thing. So Walmart had our shareholder meeting. And the shareholder meeting for Walmart is a really big deal. I don't even know if other companies do.
Now, the shareholder meeting is held there in Bentonville, Arkansas?
Yes.
Did you get to meet Honey Boo Boo?
Honey Boo Boo was not there, as far as I know.
Oh, I thought she was like a major shareholder. Oh, I thought she was a shareholder. I thought she like.
So
I'm gonna take my Honey Boo Boo money. I'm gonna go and buy me some Walmart shares.
So as far as I don't know. Now I'm not familiar with all companies and shareholder meetings, but I think Walmart throws one of the biggest kind of party kind of things for a shareholder meeting. They invite all their shareholders in, and we have concerts all week long. Mm-hmm. It's usually people I care nothing about.
Do the shareholders just like walk through the offices and like take things off your desk and go, I paid for that?
No, but they
I'll
do
take that
tours.
Stapler. I'll take that stapler.
They do tours.
Is that your mouse or is that a Walmart supplied mouse? I believe I will.
Right. Walmart supplies almost, you have to bring most of your own office supplies. So anyway.
Oh, wait,
so,
Walmart makes you buy your own office supplies?
Mostly, yes.
Oh, wow.
Like pencils, pens, all that kind of stuff.
Something happened to our chat room. I just got kicked out of it. So
I wouldn't say they make you, but they don't make it easy for you to get those things. You can't, it's, you know, and if you go to your assistant and you ask for too much stuff, they're like, you know, we don't have. Anyway, so they have the actual shareholder meeting. We have in this big auditorium, this big coliseum, like where they have basketball games at the University of Arkansas. It's an arena. Sorry. So I've only been to the first one because they use. Discouraged from going because they run out of room or they run out of seats, so they're like they play it over video,
right?
So usually we just watch it. My new manager though said, you guys can all go, don't worry, I don't care what they say, you are shareholders, you deserve to go, just tell me if you're going, go. But I didn't want to get up early and parking is horrible, and I thought, you know what, it'll be work will be a lot emptier, I can get some actual stuff done and I can just watch it on the video. Well, the thing about the shareholder meeting is they have all these celebrity. They have singers and actors, and like last year, Tom Cruise was there. Can't remember who
now,
else.
Is Tom Cruise? Some other. Is Tom Cruise a shareholder?
No, I mean like hosting or getting up on stage and doing something. So I decided, you know, I know he said that I could go, but I'm not going to go because I don't want to get up that early and I don't want to have to deal with parking. So then I'm sitting at my desk and they're playing it on one of our flat screen televisions that we have nearby. And who's the host? Reese Witherspoon.
Wow.
One of my favorite actresses. Who comes out on stage with Reese Witherspoon?
Ryan Phillippe?
No, Carol Burnett.
But was Ryan Phillippe there?
No, he wasn't. Carol Burnett comes out. Then who do they have singing? Oh, Ricky Martin comes out and does a song. And then who else? Who else? Who else do you think was there? Who do you think?
Let's see. Vicki Lawrence. No, wait. No. She's in knee surgery right now. Joe Batanz?
No.
Oh shit! I'm so bad at this stuff. Val Kilmer.
No.
Then I don't know. I give up. I give up already.
Mariah Carey.
Oh, Mariah Carey.
Who the hell was there? Mariah Carey sang three songs. She was like the headliner or whatever right before the CEO spoke. Mm-hmm. Three songs. I was less than 30 minutes. I was sitting at my desk 20 to 30 minutes from that arena, but there was no way I could get there in time. I saw her on video, but there was Mariah Carey, like my favorite all-time singer, and I chose not to go because I couldn't get up that early. Because it starts like butt early in the morning, like 7:30, and to get there and park and everything, you have to get up at like 5. Also, there was Rod Stewart, Brian McKnight. I think that's about it. So Reese Witherspoon, Carol Burnett, Rod Stewart, Brian McKnight, Ricky Martin. But anyway, those are the kind of people we get. So I should really start going. Is what I have to say.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I can't because I'll be off from it. And that's way too low for me, too. No, I can't forget this.
Oh, no, you're a verse behind. You're already a verse behind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, if I knew a Mariah Carey song, I would make up
you
fake Walmart.
Always smile,
but I don't know. I don't know
your
any.
Eyes, your sorrow shows.
I don't know any. I don't know any.
Yes,
Mariah
it
Carey
shows.
Songs. Excellent. So here's the thing. The chat room just
can't live. Go ahead. Sorry.
So the chat room just shit the bricks all over the internet in case. And I was telling people that it's the IRC that's basically. So what happens is we here at Pride 48 with our extensive budgeting there's a service on the internet called Internet Relay Chat that has been around since the beginning of the internet, since the late 70s. It is a text-based chat room system that has it's non-distributed, right? So it's like, I mean, it is distributed, it's non-central, so it's distributed across the internet and blah, blah, blah. And there's a, this is not uncommon for like a server to die or something in the chat, half the chat room to disappear, and then they will come back. I just wanted to point that out, that it was like, it's not us. It's just, the chat room is not on, it's so weird. It is so weird when I talk about Pride 48, because it's like, what you're listening to, the audio stream that you're listening to, is on its own server, which is not the same server. It's not even in the same state as the server that you have the chat room on. The chat room is being run on IRC, which is distributed across other pieces of the internet. And our actual website that you go to, pride48.com, is on yet another server that is somewhere else. It's like none of these three servers out on the internet are in the same place or do the same things. They're all like three different places out on the internet. So it's kind of weird when one dies or one has an issue. People assume that like maybe the other two might, and it's not the same, because they're not. They're all three different companies, three different places that the servers are being handled at. I've babbled on long enough. Adam, you know what, Adam?
So I want to say one other thing. So DeAndre said Beyonce wasn't there. I'm sure Beyonce has done it in the past, but here's a list of people who have performed before, just quickly. Taylor Swift, Justin Timberlake, Ben Stiller, I'm sure he was a host, Aerosmith, Miley Cyrus, Tim McGraw, Will Smith was a host, the Black Eyed Peas, Alicia Keys, Mariah Carey, Enrique Iglesias, and then the ones I mentioned today, and more. I mean, we've been doing this for 50 years, so who knows?
So probably Scruggs, Earl Scruggs is probably in there.
Yeah,
somewhere.
I don't know. Back in the, you know, who was...
Charles Nelson Reilly was probably there once, and...
The country singer who wore all black, I'm sure he did it
Johnny
before.
Cash?
Yeah, Johnny Cash, probably.
Yeah, the country singer that wore black. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, he was probably
or whatever
there.
Kind of music he sang. I don't know.
You know what, Adam? I was segueing into my story, and you just like... Let's listen to this. Hello?
Hey there, it's Turnipad Colin. In fact, I'm listening right now to your episode, the after show on the 31st of May, while you're wowing the Doc Stone with your magic trick. But I unfortunately need to cut that off and speak to the celebrity death phone.
Yes.
And say that Betsy Palmer from Friday the 13th, the actress, has died. And that's really, really sad, because I was born on Friday the 13th. And
that
yeah.
explains
all right.
so much. There you go, Adam. Congratulations, Turnipad. You are entered into the contest. Have an entry into the contest. You know what, Adam? The other day at my mailbox, I had a card, and I had no reason to get a card. You know what I'm saying?
Like what kind of card? Like a birthday card?
Yeah, you know, like it was a handwritten, you know, it was clearly a card. It could have been a greeting card, okay. A birthday card, a get well card, something like that. But it looked like a Hallmark card envelope with a handwritten address on it and whatnot.
Started getting that from credit collectors.
It was a birthday card from Turnipad. My birthday was the end of March. This is how bad international. This is how come when people say that you should be happy that you live in the United States, you know what? Give me a reason why you should be happy to live in the United States. Because when you mail something in the United States, it arrives in a timely fashion. Unlike this whole Canadian with their flazzy-da free healthcare, but they can't imagine. You know what? He must have mailed that card a week before my birthday, like any good person. And it's now taken over 3.5 months. For it to arrive here. So I'm just saying, it's like, you know, screw you, Canada. Screw you for holding on to that card and like going, you know, probably the letter carrier up there, like, you know, had to be out for a month on paid vacation while they had some kind of cancer surgery or whatever kind of socialist bullshit there was there, whatever. I'm sure that it was not that Turnipad didn't buy it late. I'm sure that he sent it in a timely fashion and that it was completely the fault of Canada. I blame Canada. There, thank you.
I believe that's a song.
Really? I should. Yeah. I think that was my senior song, actually. Anyway, so, I don't know what I'm trying to say anymore. Adam, you know what, Adam?
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. The other day, I was eating lunch, as I do every day. I don't know if you do this every day, but I do. I eat lunch every day.
Most days, yeah.
I was eating lunch at this restaurant, and I was there with my friend Bill, who I normally eat lunch with. And the waiter... It was one of those restaurants where they bring over the chips and salsa before, you know, the meal.
Yes. So a Mexican restaurant, pretty much. Or Chili's. One of the two.
And I'm there and they, you know, I sit down. It was a very small table. I sit down. I put my phone down on the table like I always do. And the waiter comes over and he sets the basket of chips like right on my phone. And then realizes that he said it on my phone. So then he picks up the basket, and then casually, as he picks up the basket to go, oh, I'm so sorry for doing that, he knocked my phone off the table, which then fell to the ground and the glass shattered on it. Right. So it's like, now this is my second phone that has had glass shattering on it.
You have bad luck with phones.
Well, you know, I hate cases. I really hate cases. It's like, I just, to me, it's just like they're really fucking annoying. So, but this time at least, it didn't kill the phone. Like, at least this time the phone still worked, because the last time that it fell on the ground and shattered, the phone completely died, right? What were you holding up?
Oh, my phone. I go bare as well, and I've never broken a phone.
And it was really, really annoying to me that this happened. And of course, I have the insurance, so it's just a small copay for them to send me a new phone. But it's like a 3-week process for them to send me a new phone. And the Nexus 6s were on sale on Amazon. And I don't do a phone contract. I buy the phones, and then, you know, so once I get my new Moto X replaced, I'll just sell it. I'll just turn around and sell it and recoup the money or whatever. So I just went ahead and bought a new Nexus 6. So
you'll do what? Recoup?
Yeah, I'll recoup the money.
I think it's recoup.
I don't believe you pronounced the final P. But anyway, doesn't matter, Adam. There you go. I have a brand new Nexus 6. Nice big Nexus.
How do you like it?
I've only had it for a day and a half, but it seems to be all right. And I'll tell you one thing that it does, Adam. This is one of these things that drives me crazy. There's a new app on it that came with Android. It's called Google Fit. So it came with not Android Lollipop, but the one after that, because I don't have this app on my Moto X. By the way, the Nexus 6 is, at least I'm running Android 5.1.2, right? And I will get the Android M. So that's the other. I was kind of looking at a Nexus 6 earlier this year and blah, blah, blah. I like the camera on it. I like the phone in general. It's a nice phone. But anyway, so it comes with this app called Google Fit. And I now realize what a sucker I am for gamification. If you gamify something, I'm just like, I'm a total fucking sucker for it.
See, I'm not at all. They want to do that at work.
Yeah. No, I tell you where this Google Fit shit. This is what happens. This Google Fit is that it sets. It just comes out of the box with like a daily goal of you doing an hour's worth of exercise, right?
Uh-huh.
And what it is like, it's always running on the phone. So when your phone's in your pocket or whatever, it tracks. It acts like a pedometer. It acts like a Fitbit or whatever. It acts like a pedometer. It like basically tracks the fact, oh, you're doing some kind of walking, or you're biking, or you're running. It basically uses the speed that you're going and like whatever to justify, you know, to figure out what kind of activity that you're doing. So it's like, here it is in my face every day. This app telling me that I have a goal of doing an hour's worth of activity.
And how they get you.
It is how they get me. So yeah. yesterday, Saturday, a lovely day in Connecticut. And I live right here on the Farmington Canal Trail, which is this 82-mile long trail that is paved and kept by the state of Connecticut. And it's a very lovely trail that goes through the woods and mountains and stuff. And so I walked down the trail a little bit and came back. And I thought that I had done an hour's worth of walking. But when I came back, it was 56 minutes. So I was 4 minutes shy.
You know what you did?
What?
You know what you did, Daniel.
What did I do?
You went for a hike.
I went for a hike, Adam.
That's what you did.
But here's the thing, Adam. Here's the thing. I was 4 minutes shy of my goal. Now, I was tired, right? I had gone up and down hills, right? It was like I was tired. It was wet. And I'm like sitting there. So every time I pick up my phone, there it is staring me in the face. And I'm 4 minutes shy of this goal. So I like, you know what I did at 11? Because it's like it was getting near midnight. It was getting near midnight.
Back and forth.
No, it's getting near midnight. You know what? I haven't checked the mail. And the mailbox is probably about 5 minutes round trip from. If I walk out to the mailbox and back, that would complete the thing. So it's 11 o'clock. I'm getting ready to go out to the mailbox. And the phone rings. And it's Joe Batanz. And the only thing that I'm thinking in my head is, I can't tell him this. If I tell him this, it's just going to be like a story. It's going to be a thing. It's like, yeah,
right?
Whatever. So I'm just like, yeah, I gotta go up.
It's Daniel Brewer.
I have to go up and check my mail, and you know, I don't ask me why. And so I hung up with him at 11:30. But I was like rushing to get it in before midnight so that I would hit my goal yesterday. So I made sure today that when I went walking on the trail that I walked for, you know, I checked the thing before I came back. I did an hour and 7 minutes. But he's like, that's the thing. You gamify anything. And I'm just like, I'm there. I don't know why. It's just, I am such a lemming. I don't know what the thing is. I love the new phone though. It is nice. It has a great camera on it.
Mark and I have been doing a lot of walking. Well, I don't want to say a lot, but we have a path.
Yeah.
That goes, I don't know, it probably goes 30 or 40 miles between different towns in the area. And it's really nice, like, you know, nice paved lined everything for biking and walking and running and stuff. And it goes right by our house. So mm-hmm. we've been taking, he jogs, but I don't, my knees hurt when I try to jog. So we've taken a few like hour and a half walks.
So Minion 51 in the chat room wants to know, is it the game that draws me in or the sense that it's a form of completion? I think it's the form of completion. I think it's just the fact that it's staring me in the face saying, oh, you got four more minutes. You got four more. And I don't know. I do this with like to-do lists at work. I don't know if you guys do this at work or not, but it's like I have like a little to-do list at work and I derive immense satisfaction from just checking things off the list. Even if it's, you know, just like stupid little things. Like I'll add really, really simple things on my to-do list so that I can mark them off. You know what I'm saying? Because I often have many projects that are ongoing that there's no way I'm going to click them off in one day, like, you know, like a multi-form tool or some software that I'm writing. So I will make sure that I add things to my list every day. Just, you know, like I don't know, something like go to the post office or, you know, go to Walgreens or, you know, go talk to Phil or go talk to, you know, talk to Nico about something. It's like just so that I can check those things off, like a reply to that email, you know, something that I can check off my to-do list. Because if I go too long without checking something off my to-do list, then I just kind of feel like, oh, wait, what the fuck am I doing? So,
yeah, like I write, we have little surfaces all over the place that you can write with whiteboard markers, like glass walls and glass dividers and all this kind of stuff and actual whiteboards
desk. I thought you went to the shareholders meeting.
No.
Oh, because they brought that up at the shareholders meeting. They wanted to remind people that those aren't surfaces to write on, and will people quit writing all over the walls?
Actually, on the glass, there's one side that's writable and one side that's not, because there's a smooth surface and a not so smooth surface. So, and I have the nice gel whiteout markers. The nice ones.
The nice gel walking.
Right. So we're going on another trip.
Really?
Yeah.
I have trip news also, but I am dying to hear yours. Tell me your trip news, Adam.
Well, this is going to be really quick. I just want everyone to know, because I don't have many plans. But But it'll have to wait.
Yeah,
I
have to wait.
Over.
Yeah, until this. Hello.
Hey, Death Phone. This is Joe in Dallas.
Hi, Joe in Dallas.
Jim Bailey, legendary cabaret performer and Judy Garland impersonator, died dead.
Yeah. When? I'm going to give this to you, Joe in Dallas, but only because I love you, because I know that you listened, you heard that on Vera Speaks for Real. And if you hadn't if you hadn't heard it on Vera Speaks for Real, you probably wouldn't know who that was. So
sometimes I can't understand the names that people are. I didn't know whether he was saying Tim Daly, Jim Gailey, Kim Bailey. I have trouble sometimes understanding the names, even when it's a person who speaks English. So I literally Googled person who impersonates Judy Garland.
Mm-hmm. And then you found out that it's Jim Bailey.
Yeah, and that's how I found it. But anyway, I just wanted to mention really fast, we're taking another
now, hold on. Kathy Bacon in the chat room brings up a really good point.
I was going to ignore that.
Are you sure that you want to announce where your trip is going to? Because this has not worked out well for you in the past.
Well, no, it's worked out fine. It's just that Joe Batance and Kathy Bacon have issues. That's all.
So the two people that you've gone to meet... have had issues. Not you, but the two people that you've gone
That's
to meet.
That's right.
Have had
I didn't actually go to meet Kathy Bacon specifically. We just happened to be there at the same time. No, we're going to. So we and I wasn't planning. I'm not planning any listener meetups or anything like that. So, but if you happen to see us, you can, you know, wave. But how we're going to? Our anniversary is July 4th. So our boyfy anniversary, since we're not married, you know, the day we became boyfriends or whatever. It sounds so high school or junior high. But anyway, so
it was the day you checked that little box on that note that he passed you.
Yes,
in class.
I passed him a note and
I like you. Do you like me? Check yes or no.
Correct. And I didn't really I passed it through a friend of his that actually gave it to him. But so anyway, we always take a trip, or we try to take a trip. It's normally a 3-day weekend, or a lot of times it is because 4th of July. So we like to take our trips there. So we decided to go to Miami.
Really?
Yeah, because
this is surprising to me.
Well, because I've never been. So I'm on a mission to find a beach for him in the U.S. that he likes.
Oh dear God! Because, then why did you choose? Oh, you should have talked to me. Why did you choose Miami?
Well, we had lots of different choices, but Miami looked like I read like top five beaches in Miami Beach, South Miami Beach South or South Beach or whatever it's called.
You're gonna hate it.
But there are a lot of beaches along that area.
No, here's the thing, Adam. Here's the thing, and I don't want to. Have you bought your tickets yet?
Yes.
I don't want to tell you this because, all right, you know what?
The other choice was Key West, but it takes too long to get there, and it was too expensive.
It would have been a much better. Here's the thing, and I just want everyone to know this. I am not a beach person, by the way. I'm not a beach person. I don't care for beaches. However, I did grow up in Florida. I am a native Floridian. And I will tell you this, that the east coast of Florida is the Atlantic Ocean, and the west coast of Florida is the Gulf of Mexico. Now, the east coast of Florida has gorgeous blue water. Like when you go to the South Beach, when you go to Miami, you go to Jupiter, any of those places along the east coast of Florida, you're going to see gorgeous blue, you know, just a bright blue water. Like, you know,
right.
Nice, you know, blue ocean is absolutely on the west coast of Florida. You're going to have gray water because it's the Gulf and it's not
right.
It's not a circulated. So the water is gray on the west coast, and on the east coast, the water is gorgeous. But the east coast of Florida has sand. So the beaches are beige and they're sand, and which means that it's very hard to walk on. As you walk down the beaches, it's like your feet sink into them, and it's a lot of work to walk on them, and the sand gets all over everything, and it's really a pain in the ass. The west coast of Florida, because the Gulf of Mexico is one of the largest limestone deposits on the planet, it's like the beach is actually crushed limestone, which is that really pure white, firmly packed, just gorgeous white beaches. That's Gulf of Mexico, which extends from the Yucatan Peninsula over in Mexico. So like, you know, Cozumel and, you know, all the places that people do spring breaks with those gorgeous white beaches. And it goes all the way around to the west coast of Florida. So it's like, you're fine. You're absolutely fine as long as you stay on the cured beaches. So what happens is, in order to combat that, like down in South Beach and whatever, they will go out with tractors and stuff and actually like pack down the beaches. You know, so as long as you stay out in front of a lot of the big resorts where they pack down the beaches, you're fine. But if you just like try to go walking up along the beach, it's a pain in the ass to walk in. So,
well, I'm looking for good sand. So you're saying sand on the west side is better?
Oh, yeah. The west coast. All right. So west coast sand cannot be paralleled anywhere in the universe because it is crushed limestone. So it's not sand. It's crushed limestone. So it's bright white and it's nice. It's so like when you build gorgeous sand castles and stuff like that, that's what you do. You use those that limestone. It's like that crushed limestone. It's like the west coast beaches are gorgeous. They're very firm to walk on. So it's like, it's, you know, your feet don't stink down. So you can just like walk endlessly along these big white pristine beaches and everything. It is just one of those things. It's like the east coast sand is slightly beige. It's like beige to tan and kind of like really kind of uncompact. But the nice thing about Key West is that Key West is actually West Coast. It's like it's down at the bottom of Florida. You can only get to it from the East Coast, but it like wraps around to the Gulf. So it actually does have the limestone. So,
well, he really likes maybe we chose wrong again, but we were reading different things and we saw pictures and it looked really nice in pictures. So,
oh yeah, by the way, is gorgeous. And by the way, South Beach is fun. So, Miami is fun. It is a fun town. Go to Fort Lauderdale. You'll have fun. It'll be a great time.
Anyway, so yeah, we're actually flying into Fort Lauderdale and then driving down to a resort in Miami, and we're staying on kind of in between South Beach and North Beach, kind of in the middle.
Okay.
What I read was it's really, really party-ish South Beach, and North Beach is...
Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer.
Yeah, go ahead.
I actually love Gloria Estefan, but anyway, my stepdad used to have CDs of hers and listen to her in the car all the time. But we're just staying in the middle, and we'll try to go to a couple of different beaches or, you know, a couple of different areas along the way. But we'll see. Key West would have been my actual choice.
Yep.
But it takes like from where I live, obviously it takes a day to get there.
Yeah.
If you leave in the morning, you don't get there until like 10 or 11 p.m. Flights out of here.
Yeah, it's because you can't actually fly into Key West in anything other than like a commuter plane, which means you have to land in Miami or Fort Lauderdale first and then wait for a commuter plane to fly in.
So, and we just couldn't, we only have a 3-day weekend. So, and the other thing was plane tickets for Key West, $1,000 a piece.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
now, fairness, it is July 4th in Key West.
Yeah.
It would be miserable because it would be so fucking crowded. However, you know, South Florida is a nice place. You'll enjoy it. It'll be very hot, but that's the downside of the west coast of Florida is the Gulf breeze is not as strong as the Atlantic breeze. One of the really nice things about the east coast of Florida is that Atlantic breeze just keeps it there's not a lot of insects because the breeze is so strong right near the ocean. So it's like there's not a lot of insects because you just always have a constant, you know, like 15-20 mile an hour breeze, which also keeps the humidity down while you're there. So it is a nice thing to do. But here's the thing I wanted to announce, Adam. I have a visitor coming in July.
Oh, who's that?
In July, here in the eastern, northeast United States, Dr. Wesley Pythagoras Stone.
Oh, wow.
Is coming to visit for 3 or 4 days.
Did he have another reason to come out there and he's just stopping by to see you? Or is he actually coming specifically to see you?
Seriously, think about it. Of course he has some other reason. He's a very important man. Okay. He probably has numerous things to do. I am nothing but just, you know, a distraction here. But, you know, he's coming in. I think we will be in New York City July 17th, 18th, and 19th, I believe is how it looks right now. So I don't know. Keep your ears. If you're in the New York City area and you would like to meet up with Dr. Wesley Pythagoras Stone and myself for some drinks, let me know, because maybe we can have a little meetup in the New York City area. We're also looking for really sleazy bars to go to. So, but you don't have to go to the sleazy bars, but we are looking for very sleazy bars while we're here. But yeah, we will be staying.
That sounds fun. I like sleazy bars.
No, I know. You should come to New
York.
You
mean sleazy? You mean
sleazy? Oh, yeah. We're talking like sleazy. Yeah. So July 17th, 18th, and 19th, it looks like we're going to be in the New York City area doing that kind of stuff. I think he's coming into Connecticut Thursday night. And then I don't know. I think we're going to go into New York Friday. I don't know. I'm waiting to get the final dates from him. He wanted to do a bunch of plays. And just, by the way, just as a service announcement to those of you who travel, if you say, I want to go to New York City and I want to see some plays, right? Because his original plan was he was going to stay in Connecticut Friday and Saturday and then go into New York Sunday and then be in New York Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Almost every Broadway theater is dark on Monday. That's their days off. It's Monday. So it's like they do a matinee show on Sunday. There's no Sunday evening show. They're dark on Monday. So that's like kind of like their weekend, because they, from Sunday after matinee, they don't have to be back in the theater until Tuesday night, right? So it's like, so it's a really bad, it's great, you know, New York is a great place, but if you want to see a Broadway show, you know, you're not going to see one on a Monday or, you know, on a Sunday evening or a Monday. So that's why I tried to talk him into coming Friday, because then that gives him the most opportunity to see a play. Like, so there's a Friday night play. Saturday, there's usually a matinee and an evening performance, and then Sunday a matinee performance. So there's, you know, four different options, you know, four different time options to see any kind of play that you might want to see in New York City. And now I've officially bored myself on that. Anyway, so yeah, let me know if anyone wants to do it. So Adam, I see one last thing here on the thing.
Oh, it's nothing. I don't even know. Did you watch West Wing?
I did.
I just now started watching West Wing because once again, I'm out of shows. I love it. That's all I wanted to say. I absolutely love West Wing.
I recall loving it when I was watching it. You know, it was funny because just today I was watching an episode of Happy-ish on Showtime. And Bradley Whitford is in that, and he made some comment about being a 52-year-old man, and I immediately like Googled it, and he's like 55. I'm just like, why are you playing a 52-year-old? You're 55. That's just crazy.
Oh, please. People, we were just discussing Game of Thrones. I don't know if it was on the recording, but, you know, they have like 23-year-olds playing 15-year-olds.
Oh, my. You know what? I was going to talk about this, and I didn't. You know what? Screw it. I don't care. I'm going to talk about this anyway. Someone suggested that I watch a movie.
Okay.
It's a movie called Mulligans.
Okay.
Are you familiar with this movie?
Is that an Adam Sandler movie?
No. Thinking of Happy Gilmore or something like that. Let's see. I'm going to read you the description here of Mulligan, so you can tell me if you've ever heard of this. A closeted gay man's affair with his son's best friend threatens to tear his family apart.
Okay.
All right. So it
sounds like you'd love it. Sounds
I know. Good, right. Right. But here's
you
the thing.
Like love. It makes me think of that Foster show that you're always.
Oh, my God. By the way. Oh, thank you so much, Adam. Thank you. Ding, ding, ding. Where is it? Why isn't this playing? Ding, ding, ding. By the way, if you're a Foster's fan, the season 3, episode 1 tomorrow night, Monday, July 8th, the new
set episode, your DVR,
set your
everyone.
DVR for the new season of the. So here's the thing. So I watched this movie, this Mulligan's movie. It came out in 2008. It's not badly acted. It's just, it's a 2008 movie. So it's the editing on it is so slow. Like they just linger on things way too long. Like he's spurned and then he has to go. And then like, we have like a 5-minute musical interlude while he goes and drinks coffee, staring at the window. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, oh my God, get to the fucking point. I could have made this like in a 30-minute show. Nowadays, right? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, there's way too much downtime in this movie. But here's the thing. the kid, right? Because you read it and you're just like, oh, that sounds kind of interesting, right? This closeted gay man's affair with his son's best friend, right? So it's like a little May December romance thing here. No, Adam, it's at best, it's an October December romance at best. Because the kid that is playing the son's best friend is like one of those 35-year-old, 23-year-olds. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So he's like, you know, he's like 35 years old playing a 23-year-old. And
yeah,
then
but you have to suspend disbelief, right?
But the father is like a 36-year-old playing a 50-year-old. You know what I'm saying? It's just kind of like, you guys went to high school together. You look the same. It's like, there's no age difference between the two of you. It's just like, matter of fact, where I'm suspending my disbelief is that you're supposed to be this guy's father. It was just bad.
So how was the movie?
Did you just couldn't
take it?
It was so slow, and it just took so long to get to these points. I mean, here's the thing. The main thing is I didn't find anyone in the show particularly attractive. I mean,
oh, well, then you wouldn't like it.
The few times that I was like going, you know, if you're going to show me a salacious movie, at least give me a couple of, you know, couple of eye candy shots. But yeah, it was, I don't know where it was filmed, but it's like this lake place that they were at, that they were swimming in. The lake just looked dirty, and it was just kind of, things didn't make sense, and they were painting a fence.
You should be a movie critic.
I should.
The lake looked dirty.
The lake looked dirty, and this fence that they were painting in one scene looked like it like needed to be like stripped or something, because it's like, you're just painting over shit. It's like you would never do that in real life. And it's like, as they're painting, the fence is wobbling back and forth. It's like, that fence is like not even a real fence. All right, so here's the thing. It was just not that good.
Well, I'm sorry.
I'm going to go back in editing and insert your blanket apology right there.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry that if anything like that I've right. said or done, you feel was in any way, whatever. Okay, there you go.
So Nico in the chat room is saying, so that a Daniel approved movie needs to be fast and have hot guys, and the lake must not be dirty. This is not. This is not true. It's not true.
It's a bullet point list.
It is. No, I'm just saying, if you're going to, a salacious movie needs to have a hot guy in it. I'm sorry. It's like, that's just kind of the thing. It's like, you know.
Yeah, but doesn't everyone have a different opinion of hot? So they would have trouble making a movie where every single person who watched the movie thought that the person playing, you know, the lead character was hot. I don't know.
All right. And I got one more thing. And I know I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I got this one more thing. There was this thing. I'm going to post this in the, can I post this in the chat room? I wonder if I could. I feel bad doing this, because maybe I should wait until the after show to do this.
Yaz Mamadou in the chat rooms asked me how much Netflix, or how much West Wing did you watch?
Yes.
And I'm on about episode 18 of season 2. I read that season 1 through 3 are fantastic, and then it is not as good, like 4 and 5, and then maybe 6 picks up a little bit. However, I'm not as picky about shows. So if I like how it's going now, I'll probably still enjoy all of the seasons.
So and also, and just so we can get past this, in the chat room, Q Sledge from the, what is it, Brain Dead?
From the chat room?
Brain Dead Podcast. I'm trying to think of the name.
Brain Hammer? Yeah. No.
No, the Brain Dead Podcast is saying that Sense8 on Netflix, which just started this, just came available this weekend. By the way, Mulligans is available on Netflix. So if you want to check this movie out that I'm talking about, that was suggested to me by another podcast, who don't listen to this show, so I can't name them. It's all about me. Said that you know that they kept talking about this movie, which is
I want to know why they don't like me. I can't imagine what I did.
Adam, it doesn't matter. I'm going to send them your apology. I'm going to send your apology and my apology to them, so that we can get this whole ugly chapter behind us. Anyway, Adam, I believe should I talk about this? No, I won't. Let's do this. Break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, chart it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, cut it. DI Plus Technology Segment brought to you by Vera Speaks For Real. All right, we have a few things here on the old technology segment. Adam, what do we have on the big roster there this evening?
Well, I wanted to play a little. I don't know if you've heard of this. I'm sure you have, but if you haven't, there is a new app that's invite only at the moment, and I've got the app, but I haven't gotten a code to activate it. But I don't remember where I heard about it, but I'm sure it was a podcast that you and I both listened to.
Is it all about me?
I don't know, maybe.
Okay.
But it's a new voice assistant type program that sounds like it's going to be really good. Like right now it's just searches. It's mainly just getting information, but they're going to work on other things, like having it open apps and do some things, you know, like all the other things do, like Google whatever and Siri and all that.
Yeah, Google whatever.
I want you to listen.
I love Google whatever.
Well, I want you to listen to this demo.
Okay, I'm waiting. Here we go.
Of this, okay?
I am waiting.
What time is it in Tokyo?
It is 10:53 a.m. the next day in Tokyo.
What time is it in Tokyo when it's 2 p.m. in San Francisco, California?
It is 6 a.m. the next day in Tokyo when it is 2 p.m. in San Francisco, California.
When is the sun going to rise 2 days before Christmas of 2021 in Tokyo, Japan?
Sunrise in Tokyo, Japan will be at 6:47 a.m. on Thursday, December 23rd, 2021.
Why do I care?
How many days are there between the day after tomorrow and 3 days before the second Thursday of November of 2022?
There are 2,714 days between the day after tomorrow and Monday, November 7th, 2022.
What is the population and capital of Japan?
The population of Japan is 127,288,000 and its capital is Tokyo.
What is the population of capital of Japan?
The population of Tokyo is 8,336,599.
What is the population of capital of the country in which Space Needle is located?
The population of Washington, D.C. is 601,723.
What is the population and capital for Japan and China and their areas in square miles and square kilometers? And also tell me how many people live in India and what is the area code for Germany, France, and Italy?
The population is 127,288,000 for Japan and 1,330,044,000 for...
Anyway, you get the idea. So supposedly this demo... Now, you may laugh and say this is completely faked, whatever.
No, I'm not saying it's faked at all. I'm just saying it's just like so annoying.
So supposedly this app is like exponentially better than even Google at taking the context of what you're saying, or, you know, understanding what you're saying, like how he says, what is the capital of the place that has the Space Needle? And also,
right, which is something I would never care about. And this is my problem with contextual things, right? Is in order for contextual things to really matter to me, they need to be personally contextual. So there needs to be like, who was it that called me yesterday about doing a show? Send an email to them saying that I ran out of time today, but I'll get back to them tomorrow. That's contextual.
Like that.
Right, but no, it's not going to do that because
eventually,
and that's what we're waiting for right now. Right now, we have this like global contextual thing, which is it's cool in demos, but how often does this happen? How often do we, you know, it's kind of fun to sit down and watch a TV show and go like, how old is Bradley Whitford? Right, because he just said on screen that he's 52. Right, it's like that's kind of fun, but it's not. It's not like a, oh my God, I have to spend $600 on this, you know, phone to have this thing.
Right? Well, no. So this is just an app. It's called Hound and it's available on Android and iOS, but you have to, right now it's invite only. So it's doing, and it is as fast. So someone in the chat room, I believe it was QSledge, says there's no way a phone actually works that fast. So from what I heard on whatever podcast I was listening to, from a tech person who has actually seen a demo live, it is that fast. And the reason is it's doing it both on the phone and in the cloud. So Google, you say something and it has to send it to Google to be translated. This app is actually translating what you're saying on the phone. And there's a mixture of cloud there too. But everything that you heard is supposedly real time, not edited. So it's really fast and you can string questions together and it will answer them, you know, one by one. And you can do contextual stuff. Like, so anyway, it's some guy who created a bunch of other stuff who is well known. I can't think of his name, but I haven't tried it myself, but I just think I just wanted to bring it up because I think it's a really cool demo and we'll see. But the goal is to have it do assistant type stuff as well, like what you were saying. But that would be, you know, they'd still be working on that. But
yeah, and the things that I find the most useful to me, like the things that I do in my life, which are just so mundane, right? It's like I will constantly tell my phone to take a note, right? Or to remind me things. And it's like the Google reminder stuff is actually really nice in some of the things that it does. So I will, it's like, it integrates with Google Keep. So I can basically like say, I can build an ongoing grocery list on Google Keep. So I'm just like, add to the Google Keep list grocery items, eggs, right? I could do that on a Monday. And then on a Wednesday, I could go add to the Google Keep, add to the Google Keep grocery items, salsa or whatever. It's like, and then I can have an ongoing thing. Remind me when I'm at Stop and Shop to look at my Google Keep list called grocery items. And it's Google keeps all of those things happening at the real time. So it's like the reminders on Google are actually really clever, and they're contextual. I mean, they're not contextual, but they're not only aware of time and day, but they're also aware of location.
Location.
Yeah. So it's like when you say, remind me the next time I'm at Stop and Shop of the Google Keep list grocery items. When you walk into the Stop and Shop, your phone buzzes, you look down at it, and it's got that list open for you, right? It's like those are the kinds of things that I tend to use. You know, they're really boring, mundane things, but I tend to do those things more than I do, you know, something else. Like, oh, remind me to send an email to such and such when I get home. Remind me when I get to work to do such and such. And these are all things that I kind of like, I lean on heavily, because when I get to work, as soon as my phone, you know, arrives at work, it buzzes and it has things for me to do.
Right.
And you can sleep those things like, you know, like tell me again in an hour or something, you know.
Kind of. I find it exciting the way all of these things are going, though. One day we're going to get to that Star Trek world where we come in the room and we just say, hey, computer, blah, blah, blah. And right. It just does it.
No, and yeah. I agree. And I'm not putting these things down in any way. I'm just saying that until we get to that personal contextualization things, because those are the things that I still have to, you know, do manually, those things like Right. Who was it that told me to do that, who sent me that, and
For anyone who's interested, it's called Hound, and you can get the app now, but to use it you have to get an invite. So when you go into the app, it's going to ask you to request an invite, and I haven't gotten that yet. Excellent. So we got a tech question. Oh. Dennis,
yes,
I hope he wanted me to say his name, because I did. Hi Dennis. Dennis, he's 6'2", 175 pounds with a 7-inch cut cock. No, I don't
really?
Know. Just, yeah.
Hi, Dennis. Hey, Dennis.
I have no idea. But he says, hello.
Hi, Dennis.
I have a backup hard drive, and I have inadvertently saved multiple copies of the same file. Can you recommend a good, inexpensive, easy-to-use duplicate file finder for use with a PC? Before you answer, Daniel.
Okay.
Because you always have the right answer. I just want to put my two cents in.
I'm waiting.
I use an application called Glary Utilities, which has a bunch of stuff. So, and it's free. I think there is a pro version, The basic version is free, which has everything you need. And it has all kinds of stuff. It also has a dupe finder or a... you guys didn't hear that. So it has disk analysis. It has shows you the disk space, duplicate file folder, empty folders finder, file splitter and joiner, a cleanup and repair, blah, 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 blah. Optimize and improve, privacy and security stuff, system tools. It has all kinds of stuff. And the basic version is free. So so that is one option. And Daniel may have something specific.
I do.
That's what I use.
The one that I use, because oftentimes when I replace hard drives, I will just copy things from one hard drive to another and keep using the other hard drive. Anyway, so I did need a tool to do this a while back. And so I ended up finding a program called, I know, brace yourself here. It's a program called Duplicate Cleaner. there is a free edition and there's a pro edition. So the Duplicate Cleaner free is the one that you can look for on the web. It's from a software company called FastSpring. So that is who it is there that does that. Is that their pay thing? Let me see who actually does Duplicate Cleaner. I'm going to find this out here. There's also, let me just tell you this. There's also, if you want to, you don't have to pay for this, but if you want to, you can buy the pro version of it, which is currently on sale for $12. So it's a whole whopping $12. But what it will actually add to the list. So Duplicate Cleaner free will actually go through your entire, all of your hard drives on your system and just look for files that have the same size and dates and you know, it'll compare the file sizes and names and stuff like that. And it does a little bit more than that. It actually does a checksum on them. So just because you have a file called document.txt in six different folders, it actually does a checksum to make sure that they are the same contents inside of them. But if you upgrade to the pro feature, you'll actually be able to find resized, rotated, flipped, or edited images, you know, so that you can like find multiple images, you know, multiple versions of the same image on your system. You can scan and delete inside of zip files, so it'll actually open zip files and go inside of them and look for duplicates. It will save your frequently used searches. It will find duplicates between folders and drives. It can compare audio files by audio content, so you can find, you know, the same audio files. It'll remove duplicate files or rename the duplicate files and turn them into hard links so that if somebody's pointing to one directory, anyway, a whole bunch of extra things for like $12 that it'll do. But that is what it's called. It's called Duplicate Cleaner. Wow, I can't talk. Duplicate Cleaner. I was wrong. It was made by Digital Volcano. So it is Digital Volcano is the creator of this, or the software company that made this, and it's called Duplicate Cleaner Free. So just do a Google search for Duplicate Cleaner Free and you should find it. That is the one that I use and I would suggest using.
There's also an article on Lifehacker, but it's kind of old, so I'm not sure. Gina Trapani has several. WinMerge can identify duplicate images, text, and office documents. Mm-hmm. There's one called DupliFinder, which actually compares images at a pixel level. I don't know if they, anyway, so there's some other ones, so I can put a link somewhere.
You can. If you do a Google search for duplicate cleaner, it's like the second link. It's digitalvolcano.co.uk is the company that does it. They have a bunch of different little utility softwares, but that is the one that I personally have used and liked. But anyway, there you go. That is the, thank you very much for the question, Dennis. We do appreciate it. Now, I notice here there's a third card in the tech segment in which you misspelled synergy. Is there a reason for that?
Because I can't spell. This is just a quick thing for anyone who has, and maybe everyone in the world knows about this except for me. I mean, I kind of knew, but today's the first day that I actually searched it and found the application and set it up. But I have multiple PCs in the studio and I have multiple keyboards and mice for those multiple PCs. I have, two desktops and a laptop, and I'm about to bring the desktop from the living room that I never use as a media PC. I'm about to bring it in the studio. So I'll have three desktops and a Raspberry Pi and a laptop. Anyway, so I don't have a monitor for the Raspberry Pi yet. So eventually I'll have that set up as well. But I have lots of computers in here. And I knew that I had heard on several podcasts that there's a way to use the same mouse and keyboard on all of your computers. And it just acts like it's multiple monitors. You just literally move the mouse and it goes to the next computer.
Did you just burp? Right?
Yeah, sorry. I didn't have time to mute myself.
It is apologies. It is a software KVM. Is basically what it is.
Yeah, it's a software KVM. So you don't have to hit any buttons. So what it does, now this is $10, but if anyone has this need like I did, it's called Synergy. And as far as I know, I've only had it for a couple of hours, so I haven't done extensive testing. But it works on Linux, it works on iOS, it works on Windows, it works on all different flavors of Linux, all that. And so so I could have a Mac here, I could have a Linux, I could have a Windows and all of them. And you literally install it on each computer. And one of them, you install it, when you're configuring it, you configure it as a server. It's very easy. I mean, it's a couple of clicks. There's not anything complicated. And then when you install it on your other machines, you literally just say, I want you to use the mouse from the server, and it auto detects the server. And it works on wireless and wired network. So they just all have to be on the same network, basically. And it took me like 5 minutes, maybe, to set up three computers. And literally all you do is move the mouse between them. And it looks like multiple monitors. I mean, it's seamless. Like as soon as my mouse bumps the edge of the monitor, it goes right over to the other computer. And then your keyboard knows that your mouse is there, basically. You can also drag and drop files and do some other things that I have not experimented with. But all I cared about was the keyboard and the mouse, and it works. No button switching, no anything. You don't have to do anything. You just move your mouse.
Nice.
And it's called Synergy. So excellent. There you go. If anyone has that need.
I would ask you if you've heard about the GizWiz thing, but I think that's something that is probably only of interest to you and I, so we will just save it for another
okay.
time. All right, let's do this. Copyright, Vera Charles.
All right. So I do have three. I apologize, but, you know, sometimes I do that. All right. So a moron terrorist took a selfie in front of ISIS headquarters.
Wait. I thought, okay. For whatever reason, I have like, did I tell you this? I think I did. I have like contextual dyslexia where it's like I'll scan things and think that it says something that it didn't. So I thought it said Mormon terrorist.
Right. A Mormon terrorist.
I was expecting a completely different story here. So it was a moron terrorist. Okay.
Yeah. He was, you know, ironically, he was riding a bicycle wearing a button-up white tie, t-shirt yeah, exactly. and a tie. Yeah. No, a moron terrorist took a selfie in front of ISIS headquarters, mm-hmm. leading the U.S. Air Force straight to its doorstep. U.S. airstrike destroyed the building less than a day after airmen based in Florida spotted the incriminating post on social media. The airmen are combining through... Sorry, I don't know what that... There's a... The airmen are combing through social media and they see some moron standing at this command... the post included details about the command center's location, and the selfie taker was bragging about command and control capabilities with the Islamic State, Carlisle said. The single selfie started an investigation within a day. The airmen pinpointed the building's location, which was not disclosed, on a map and launched some kind of guided bomb, JDAMS.
Yeah.
And these guys go, we got in. So they do some work. Long story short, about 22 hours later, through that very building, three of those bombs take that entire building out. So
I'm sorry. You know what? I know that we're supposed to be like all scared of ISIS and whatever. And this is the new boogeyman that they like to like throw around and everything. But every time I hear this, this is all I think about in my head.
Shazam ISIS Hour, a full hour of exciting adventure with the world's most powerful mortals. Captain Marvel, champion of truth and justice. And ISIS, dedicated foe of evil. Both together in the Shazam ISIS Hour.
That's all I think about.
I'd rather it be that, but I think ISIS is the group that beheads people.
Yeah, whatever. Jesus, we have more weapons and more military power than any other fucking country in the universe, and we live our lives shitting ourselves in fear of everyone. So what the fuck are we so scared? Oh, Jesus Christ.
I think we're safe as long as we don't go over there.
No, the thing is, it's just these people trying to build fear to like justify us spending billions of dollars on these military things. It's like, for God's sakes. You know what? People get beheaded all the time in every kind of... It's a bad, nasty world out there.
It's true, it is. A group of Western tourists who stripped naked at the peak of Mount Kinabalu last month will be prohibited from leaving Malaysia as their act of, quote, disrespecting the mountain could cause the devastating earthquake that killed at least 13 people. The earthquake, measuring 5.9 on the Richter scale, struck Sabah's west coast on Friday, causing landslides on Mount Kinabalu, where at least 13 climbers have so far been confirmed dead. The earthquake comes a week after a group of foreigners, who included two Canadians, two Dutch, and a German national, broke away from their entourage and stripped naked before taking photos at the mountain peak.
Yeah.
So the deputy chief minister of Sabah, Tan Sri Joseph Perenkitangan, who has too long of a name.
I like the old days when you just said whatever.
Said that tourists showed disrespect to the sacred mountain and will face appropriate action according to native laws. Some state police commissioner something said that police has identified five tourists and they would be barred from leaving the country at entry and exit points. So basically, these people think that the tourists stripping naked caused the earthquake.
Oh, well, of course they did. I mean, that is a scientific fact, right? That if you strip naked in a foreign country, you're going to cause an earthquake. Everyone, we learned this in science as a child. I don't know. I
don't know how many foreign countries I've stripped naked in. And, you know, I find...
And you, Adam, you are a world traveler. You've been to...
that is true.
You've been to what the fuck? South Dakota? Where the fuck in South Dakota have you... You've been to Wall, South Dakota, goddammit.
I've been to Cyprus and Austria and Germany and England and Ireland.
He did. Yas Mamadou heard this. Yas Mamadou, did he say entourage? Yeah, that's all I heard when you said entourage. I'm just like, oh,
I did say.
You mean like Turtle and Ari and...
yeah, something like that.
Vince.
Last but not least... so basically, we have, a Stanford man.
You're not even into this story, are you? You're just like, why did I pick this?
No, I thought it was. So a Stanford man called 911 after a 4-hour standoff with an aggressive cat. All right. So here we have, Stanford, Connecticut, you said cat. That was the response. From a 911 operator when a Stanford man called Wednesday to report his cat was attacking him. Right. Muhammad Lachman made the call at around 1:30 a.m. Wednesday to say he could not get into his home.
I'm listening. Go ahead.
He couldn't get into his home because his nearly 8-pound too aggressive. I have a problem in my home, Lockman told 911. I cannot go inside my home. 911 operator. What's the problem, sir? The problem is my cat was getting too aggressive. I was inside and she attacked me, and she scratched me in my leg and bit me. So me and my wife, we come outside, and now we cannot go home for like 3 or 4 hours. Okay. You said a cat? Yeah. Where is the cat? In my home. The operator then asked if he wanted the police to come and remove the cat from the home and if something was wrong with the cat. The guy said the cat had a kitten that the night before and said that she was acting fine until late morning. Anyway, The 911 caller told CBS that he, the cat, and the kitten are all fine. He said in a year and a half, he never had a problem with the cat, and he's still not sure why it reacted that way. Stanford Animal Control.
Cats are just so weird.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. You know, I don't talk about my dating life on this show because various reasons, but it's like, the very first person to ever spend the night in my apartment happened the other night. And the next day the cats were just pissed off. It's like, they just, you know, I got up and I fed them and then I went back to sleep. And as soon as I got back in the bed to go to sleep, it's like, they're just like, and it's just like, they were just like storming. They would not shut the fuck up until he left. They would not shut the fuck up. They were just like parading around, just like causing havoc. I was just like, Jesus Christ. It's just like wrong.
Anyway, that's the news.
Really? Nothing? Really? That's the news.
I'm allergic to cats. So I don't have a lot of opinions. I mean, I'm okay with cats because I like animals, but I'm allergic. So I've
just,
never.
Now
I've
you've
not
just
lived.
Pissed off all of the cat owners and the cats. Thanks.
I'm allergic. Why?
Nope. More people
so
mad at us.
Glad to help you get to the fiesta today. Do you know why today is such a special fiesta?
Why, Dora?
It's a birthday fiesta!
Yay!
So let's all sing happy birthday in English and Spanish. Ready?
Okay. Is the DI Plus birthday segment, the segment of the show where Adam will play musical cues to someone's birthday, and I, using only my head brain and mouth words, will tell you whose birthday it is without cheating and looking in the chat room, unless I get really stuck, in which case I will totally cheat like a bastard. Now I have to apologize to bastards. All right. Adam, who is
now,
our first...
Sometime I think you should use some other words, like butt words or something.
You're always using
your mouth words.
I am.
And maybe you should
find this amazing that it is now like the literally the 80th time that I've said that, and yet you every single week you seem to find that amazing.
I think it's strange.
It's
that
called
you say it that
it's
way.
It's comedy through redundancy.
All right. So are we ready?
I have been ready for a while here, Adam.
All right, here we go. You won't know
first
it.
First things first, I'm the
realist.
Drop this and let the whole world feel it.
Let them feel it.
And I'm still in the murder business. I can hold you down like I'm giving lessons in physics. Right.
Now, is this two people?
It's one person.
So this is not salt.
Well, there's more than one person in the song.
This is not salt and pepper.
It is not.
Yeah, you're right. I'm never going to get this.
Champagne spilling, you should taste that.
So no, not at all.
Nope.
All right. So I have one more song for this person. So
that's gonna help.
It's a female rapper.
I got that. Oh yeah.
Maybe the chat room knows.
Nope.
Black widow, baby.
This
I wish I could play the video of you doing the white girl dance to this.
Now we just fucking.
I have no idea. I have no idea who this is.
So this is an Australian white.
Is it Iggy Azalea?
It is Iggy Azalea.
Excellent.
Yes.
Yay. Hooray for me. Yay. All right.
You know, Daniel, you are so in touch with the current generation.
I am.
I love it how in touch you are. You know, that's why I date younger men, mm-hmm. because I like to stay in touch with with the current generation.
Oh, I thought you like to feed off their life essence.
Well, that too.
Okay, great.
So Iggy Azalea, who is an Australian, who a lot of people are mad because she raps like she's black, but she's white. She is so white.
Yeah, but I mean, do the same people get mad at Keith Urban because he sounds like he's from South Carolina when he sings?
No, I don't think they do. So
I'm from Australia.
All right. So Iggy Azalea is 25 years old. She also does another rap with, here's the thing about rappers.
Oh, dear God.
They can't.
Silent in a movie theater?
No. Most times, here's the thing about rap. And I will, you know, rap is debatable whether or not it's music. But can you just admit most rap songs, and I'm using air quotes here.
You are, yes.
Include a singer along with the rapper.
Nowadays, yes.
Right. So, I mean, can you really call the rap itself a song, or do you have to have a singer, right? Because all of them do. Like, another one of hers is Problem with the Ariana Grande. But anyway, there you go. I like those songs, so I have no problem with Iggy Azalea. She was also in the most recent Furious movie.
I think the problem is
very
is that,
small part.
I think the problem is that just pure rap, which used to exist, it just gets really boring to listen to after a while. You kind of need melody in there, so they kind of do this hybrid stuff. Yeah.
All right, you probably won't know this one either, but this guy is so cute to me, so I had to include it.
Ramsey Bolton.
It's the bass player, by the way.
Ramsey Bolton.
No. Do you know who the band is?
It's probably like Coldplay or something.
It's not.
That doesn't help me. I don't know. No, who's the band?
All right. Well, the band is Fall Out Boy.
Ah, see? I wouldn't have gotten that one.
And it's the bassist. Do you have any idea?
I know. The bassist from Fall Out Boy.
He's very
cute. The bassist from Fall Out Boy. Congratulations.
And there are some photos of him. He's very androgynous looking, yeah, although he's been married to a woman. There are some photos of him naked. His name is Pete Wentz.
Pete Wentz, or actually Peter Wentz.
Wentz, yeah. And I find him very attractive, especially in his younger days, but even now. And if you look for him nude, you'll find some nude photos of him as well. But anyway, Pete Wentz is 36 years old. So he is almost exactly my age. I am 36 at the moment. He's a little bit younger than me because I turned 36 almost a year ago. But
his nude pictures have a guy behind him.
He has some that I thought he had one that didn't. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I enjoy his nude photos. He doesn't show his whole penis, I don't think. I think he's his hands over part of it or something. But anyway, so Pete Wentz is 36, and here is our next birthday.
Happy birthday, Pete Wentz. Oh, dear God. Oh, make it stop.
I love
stop.
This.
It is the highly annoying soprano saxophone stylings of Kenny G.
Is it wrong that I really like G?
No.
I think he's a really good musician.
Here's the problem with Kenny G. Here's the problem with Kenny G. Is that...
I'll stop it.
You take like a real jazz musician, like a Stanley Turrentine or a you know, Branford
Marsalis. His technique is so good, though.
But yeah, and yet he wastes it on these sing song. He doesn't do enough freestyle. He doesn't do enough like ad lib, like roots of jazz. He does commercial, you know, sing songy stuff.
It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It made him lots of money.
But that's not jazz. That's pop. And that's the thing. It's like he wants to play off of the hipness of jazz without paying the dues of being, you know, jazzy hip. That's all.
I'm sure he could do jazz. And if I was going to be a professional.
No, you know what?
Player,
no, that's not true, Adam. Here's the thing. It's like there are a lot of musicians out there that are technically, you know, as long as they have music in front of them, they are technically, you know, perfect and they're wonderful and they can play their instruments with perfection. However, they cannot ad-lib, and that's the soul of jazz. Jazz is the concept of jazz is to
I
be
hate
able,
ad-lib, by the way.
Okay, but the concept of jazz is that you and your instrument are one, and you're so in touch with your instrument, you're just like, here is the framework of a song, and I'm now going to ad-lib myself around it.
Like, I went to that Wynton Marsalis and the Lincoln City Jazz Orchestra concert, and I love Wynton Marsalis. Like, I love, and for anyone who doesn't know, he's like a world-famous trumpet player.
Yes.
But I hate his ad lib. I hate it. Anyway, but if you listen to some of the stuff he does that's not ad lib, he is so technically good.
Yeah, I mean, that's
so technically good.
There you go, Adam. That's just
anyway,
sad. That's just sad.
Kenny G is 59 years old. I'm not a big jazz fan though. I like big band.
Nope.
But
I'm not talking about
anyway.
Don't want to
so
talk to
Kenny G is 59 years old. So here is the next one,
I'm done.
And
I'm
I'll
done.
Just tell you it's the main star.
Done.
Oh, whatever.
This is, of course, the theme to Leave It to Beaver. So it's the main star. It would be Jerry Mathers as the Beaver.
It is. My tablet died, so I don't have any. Jerry Mathers as the Beaver is 67 years old.
67 years young.
Yep. All right. So we'll
I still have Pete Wentz's naked pictures up on my screen for some reason. I don't know.
He's not. Do you think he's cute?
Yeah, he's all right.
He's cute.
Oh, I think so. I'm not a big tattoo person.
Most new fish come close to madness the first night.
This is somebody the unmistakable melodic tones
every time.
Of Morgan Freeman.
The only question is, who's it going to be?
What movie is this?
It's as good a thing to bet on as any, I guess.
March of the Penguins?
I had my money on Andy Dufresne.
Let me rewind it.
No, it's the Shawshank. It's the Shawshank Redemption. It is the Shawshank Redemption.
In America.
Yes, it is Shawshank Redemption. Yeah, it's Morgan Freeman. Morgan, how do you think Morgan Freeman is?
You know, we use Morgan Freeman as a barometer.
It's true.
To tell how old other, you know, people are. And I just saw he was on HBO today when I was sitting down eating lunch on that horrible movie called Last Vegas. I would say that Morgan Freeman is not a day over 78.
Wow, you're right. Did you know that? Or was that a guess? He's 78.
He's 78.
All right, here is our last birthday. I love this person and I love this show.
Yasmamadou says the one where the penguins escape from prison.
I love this show. I
the
love
flightless
it.
Water birds as they made their way down the sewer pipes. This is the theme to Matlock.
Yes, it is. Wow, look at that. Mm-hmm.
We just used this theme in a show a couple of weeks
ago.
Like, Adam rebuts the internet. We use this theme. But that's okay. So I'm going to guess that it is Andy Griffith.
It is Andy Griffith.
Excellent.
I watched every episode of this show. I don't know if I could go back and watch it now, but I loved this show.
No, y'all.
They would go and solve the crimes, and
I was solving the crimes here in the courtroom.
And they would go in the courtroom, and he would ask all these questions and frame somebody else for the. It was always the same format. I like procedurals. You know,
I did not know that I about do. You. That is absolutely embarrassing.
Am I an 80-year-old man?
You are. You and Dr. Wesley Stone.
Because I hear that old people like procedurals. I hear that is a very old school thing.
Here we go.
But I really, anyway, Andy Griffith is dead. I'm sad to report, everyone. Don't call the celebrity death phone. He's already dead. If he were alive, he would be 89.
89 years
okay.
old.
So in the chat room, yes. Good Humor Penguin says he always enjoyed Matlock.
Yeah.
Good Humor Penguin, how old are you?
You don't,
is what I would like to
you
know.
Don't ask a girl her age.
Because,
by the way, while he's replying to that, I would like to say on the Pride 48 website, we would like to say a very happy birthday. Because our rule here is that your birthday has to already have passed. So happy birthday to Carrie. super fan Carrie, who whose birthday was yesterday, Sunday, Saturday, the 6th of June. And by the way, I know you don't read Facebook.
No, not really.
I was so proud of Carrie, our Carrie. We love Carrie so much. I was so proud of her. She like posted in the Pride 48 group questions that she wanted to ask about transgendered folks because she did, you know, wanted to like learn these things. And I loved it. I loved the entire conversation that was had during that when we were talking about Caitlyn Jenner. And I thought that it was a very productive thread. If you wanted to read, if you had questions, you know, about some things transgender that you, you know, wanted to kind of look in on, make sure you go to the Pride 48 group on Facebook and look at the thread. It was actually a very long thread, but it was lots of interesting information that were in there. And so thank you, Carrie, for doing that, for asking and for being brave and not wanting, you know, and wanting to learn. We appreciate all that stuff. Speaking as, you know, as an unofficial representative of the LGBT community. And I think all too often we overlook the T part of that. Doesn't matter.
Maybe I'm just old. That I think that's what it is. I just have to admit it. I am no longer young. No more backwards baseball caps.
Well, you can't because of the new hair. Anyway. You can't wear them. Anyway,
no,
it doesn't matter.
I will. I did the other day.
It doesn't matter. So happy birthday to Carrie. And I think that's where we're done. So now I have to find this screen so that we can do this.
Sing my way to La Fiesta. I couldn't have done it without you. See you soon. Hasta luego.
Bye, Dora.
Excellent. You know what? I'm thinking that Superfan Carrie, that's listed on the Pride 48 website as having her birthday, is spelled with a C, and our Carrie is spelled with a K. So it may not be the same Carrie. Just wanted to say that.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. Anyway, the thread there is I was trying to find it, but there's the thread. Hi, guys. I was wondering if there's anybody willing to answer some really ignorant questions about being a transgender person. It's actually a great thread. You should actually absolutely check it out. Also, there's a great new...
Can I say again that I find female to male... people attractive. Yes. I just want to say that one more time.
Yes, we know.
I think I'm straight.
No, it's
Daniel. I think
actually,
I'm straight.
Why? Why you like? Young,
I think
you
I have
like,
turned straight.
You like boys, and I'm sorry, but female to male, they tend to look like 10 years younger than their male counterparts.
My mom would be so proud.
Excellent.
She would.
Here we go. Let's listen to our very first voice. Oh, wait, we have an email. Let's read our email first.
I should ask my mom. Hey, mom, if I did.
Are you doing the same?
Male,
are you doing the show with me or against me?
I am doing it with you.
We have this show is just all over the fucking road. We have an email that came into us, Adam. I don't know if you saw this or not, but we have an email from Anna. Did you got this?
No, I didn't get an email from Anna. So I guess you did.
Yeah, you must have because you forwarded it to me. Anyway, it comes in from Anna who writes, "Hey, greetings from London. First time emailer here. Just wanted to say that I've spent the last 6 months listening to every single episode y'all have posted. And I'll be damned if that wasn't genuinely such a good way to spend my time. Both you and Adam are so awesome and I'm absolutely in love with your show. I hope it never ends. Love, Anna."
Anna from England?
Yeah, you forwarded this to me.
No, I did not. It came from the website. It must have come from the website.
Okay.
Because for some reason, the stuff from... I don't know how... When people email some... Maybe there's an email form on the website or something.
That must be what it is.
It looks like it came from me. Okay. But I didn't see that. Well,
you know
thank
what?
Thank you, Anna.
Thank you, Anna, so much. We really appreciate it. You know, Anna is in the is in London.
Who are you, Anna? I like to know who our listeners
are. Shut the fuck up! You always do this. Here we have this lovely person from London who says that, and then immediately you're like, "Who are you? Who are you? What are you doing? Who are you? Let's show us your picture. What do we
have?" Anna, I have two exes that are British. I used to live in England, London and Brighton, by the way. I love British people. I just want to tell you.
See, now, so Anna, you're Anna my would,
favorite.
Anna would recognize the disclaimer that we started playing tonight at the beginning of our show is actually Marcus from Big Brother. So she would.
You're my favorite listener now, Anna, unless you're not British.
We love you, Anna. You should call us because we like British accents. You should call us and like, and you don't have to like spend the money to call us. Just send us a recording, you know. Hello, Gabner. We like your shit. You know, it's like, what? I can't. I'm a shit at doing it.
Anna's probably an exchange student from like Sweden visiting England.
Oh, wait. I do not understand. They are both men. I did not get that. I did not understand that they were both men. They like the penis, though. Okay, good.
Apparently, I like, you know, lots of things. Anyway, go ahead.
I got nothing. Thank you so much, Anna. We really do appreciate
that. Yeah, we do.
That was lovely. Let's get to our first voicemail here. This comes into us from the one and only Mrs. Kathy Bacon. Let's listen to it.
Hey, Daniel, and listening to my favorite radio show, calling my favorite podcast show.
Uh-huh.
Oh, is this the BFO? Just kidding.
Hey, can you pause that for a second?
Anyway, so hold on.
Yes, what?
Since this voicemail is just for you, I'm just going to run and pee real quick.
Okay, great.
While you listen. Go ahead.
Okay, I got it.
What's your town famous for? And someone just wrote in and said that Shelton, Connecticut is home of the Whistle Ball.
Yes, it is.
Didn't you live there?
Yes.
How come you never told us that?
Because that,
all right, well,
that
tell us now what
that factory shut
your
down.
Favorite town is known for. I'm not sure if our town is known for anything. Let me see. So
South
this
Dakota.
Is Pheasant Country. We have Storybook Land by
Disney?
I can't think of his name.
Disney.
I'm horrible.
Disney.
Anyway, I'm not sure we're really famous for anything. Well, we are famous for Tommy from Chicago, T. Digger.
Well, that's true.
Digger?
That's true.
Digger.
Yeah.
Digger. I never called him T. Digger.
T. Digger.
Digger and T. Wiggle. I never called him that. But anyway,
T. Digger and Wiggles.
Why he's called T. Wiggles? Because is it? I'm not going to say why I might think. But anyway.
Because his titties wiggle.
Yeah, Aberdeen is famous for being visited by Tommy. And, you know, his visit, he was here for, let me see. So I met him at 1 o'clock and he left at 6 o'clock the next morning. So he was here for 19 hours. So
wow.
It was probably the quickest visit ever. But, you know, we did cross that big tall bridge, which probably isn't very tall compared to bridges in Chicago. But anyway,
Madison.
What's your town famous for? And you should do that as a call-in contest or something. All right. Bye.
Excellent. Thank you.
What?
All right. Thank you, Kathy Bacon. So yes, Shelton, Connecticut is the home where the Wiffle Ball was created. And the reason I never talked about that was because, you know, I spent two traumatic years in Shelton. But no, it was, I no longer live in Shelton. I now live in Hamden, as you will recall. I used to drive past the factory all the time, which is largely in ruins. And like, basically it's now just become because nobody buys Wiffle Balls anymore. Pretty much. Anyway, so thank you, Kathy
Bacon.
Okay,
I'm back.
Oh,
are
great.
You done?
Adam, what is your town famous for?
Walmart.
There you go. All right. And my town is not actually famous for anything. However, where I work, New Haven, is where, near New Haven is where Pez was created. I'm sure I've talked about that on the show before. Orange, Connecticut is where Pez is from. And by the way, you know, I didn't know this until recently that the Bigelow Tea Company is based here in Connecticut. Also, Bic Lighters. Also, Sikorsky Helicopters.
Oh, anyway, yeah. Daisy BB Guns.
Oh, Daisy BB Guns.
Yeah, are right from here.
Like in Rogers, Arkansas. Like you're going to put your eye out? Like Christmas Story, like you're going to put your eye out thing?
They have a Daisy BB Gun museum.
Right.
Right next to the Walmart museum.
Cool.
So, no, it's not. It's in a different, sorry. But yes, Daisy BBs. And my hometown is famous for tomatoes.
Tomatoes. Well, you know, you can't, yeah. Well, hold on. I mean, I grew up near Ruskin, Florida. Which is, there's an entire breed of tomatoes named Ruskin tomatoes, right?
Well, we have a festival where I'm from called the Pink Tomato Festival.
Oh my God, wait, hold on, hold the fucking phone. Lamont Cranston says that he was at the Pez place in Orange yesterday. Lamont, you were here in Connecticut? So really, do you hate me that I'm going to like cut that apology thing and just like send it to Lamont? Like you were here in Connecticut and you didn't like say, you met up with Joe Batanz, but you won't meet up with me. Wow, that's just... It's just wrong.
I've met up with Joe Batanz, and it's, you know, it's okay. But
let's get to our last voicemail here. It comes in to us from Carrie, who has this to say.
Hi, this is Nathan. Can I go to Mars to see you?
What?
Translation. Hi, this is Ethan. Can I go to New York City so I can see you?
Yes.
Who do you want to see?
Yes.
Daniel.
Yes. Yes, of course he does, because anyone in their right mind would want to see me. No, absolutely not, Ethan. But I'll tell you this, Ethan. Don't tell your mother this. Don't tell your mother this. But I'm going to be in California in November. We should totally go to Disneyland. It'll be fun. We'll go to Disneyland. I mean, yeah, she can come too. That's fine. But we should go to Disneyland. We should go and see. It'll be awesome. We'll go talk to Mickey. We'll go talk to Minnie. We will totally shun Goofy. We'll just be like, get away from us, you weird ass dude. All right. And, but we will hug Pluto because he is the only proper dog that is there at Disney. That's all I'm saying.
Wasn't there something about, Disney characters that you were having a
debate? I had a throwdown with Duffy the Disney Bear, but that is a story for another day and another time, Adam. I got nothing. I really do.
Ethan, if you ever want to go hiking in the Ozark Mountains.
Why would a kid want to do that?
Or go to Eureka Springs and see the Passion of the Christ. No, what's it called? The Passion Play.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd really love to do that.
I can take you. Or we can go to Branson and we can see
Right, there you go. You're going to take the kid to Branson, Missouri. Excellent.
We could see that shitty magician.
Yeah, no, Ethan, Jonah, in November, Ethan can come to Disney with Uncle Nico and Auntie Daniel and maybe Cousin Joe. We'll all go to the kingdom. It'll be fun. We'll ride the teacups.
Yeah, we can go to... Mags in the chat room has it. We can go to Silver Dollar City. I've never been there.
Yeah, right, yeah. Take the kid to a fucking casino, Adam. There you go. That's very nice.
That's a theme
very
park. Nice. It's a theme park. It's a theme park. Silver theme Dollar
park
City.
Theme park slash casino. Excellent. All right, let me get us out of this. 3, 2, 1. Excellent. You know, if you would like to send us an email, you can do so at contact@dubiousintent.com. Or you can send us a voicemail at our phone number, which is 229-234-7587. Wait, apparently there's a championship disc golf course. Is that at Silver Dollar City?
I don't know.
You want to take this kid to someplace you've never been?
I've been to Branson, but I've not been to Silver Dollar City, and I've not been to a championship disc golf course. But there could be.
There could be?
I don't know. Look, every time we go to Branson, Mark just wants to go to the freaking outlet mall.
You know why? Yeah, because you know who performs at the outlet mall?
I don't know.
Jenny Craig Porn Stars. DI Plus is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on a voicemail line. 2x2 DI Plus. That is 229-234-7587. Or send us an email. contact@dubiousintent.com. And there you go.
Is this the longest show ever?
You know what? I don't give a shit. The number of fucks given as to how long this show is, zero, Adam. Zero. That is the number of fucks given.
I thought it was a good show. I was pleased with the show.
Oh, no. It was a total fucking train wreck. And,
Well, apparently I'm pleased with train wrecks.
I don't know what you're trying to say. Anyway, so Adam, you know, it's summer here. We got the big Pride 48 weekend coming up June 19th, 20th, and 21st. Make sure that you are listening to that. We will be performing live, but not only us, but 40 of our closest friends' shows.
That's
will also
right.
That weekend.
Yeah, I noticed. That's too long for me to say.
Good night, Chad.
A lot. Good night, David.